Hello, listeners. Welcome to Carrum Radio. Welcome to the long-awaited return of the Carrum Cricket Club radio show. We've had a bit of a hiatus for just under a year, I reckon, but it's fantastic to be back. I'm Peter Ridgway. I'm very proud and lucky to be the chief coach of the Carrum Cricket Club, and it's just fantastic to have cricket back. Greatest game in the world, and we're all very excited about our season starting tomorrow. Joining me tonight, I have Corey Foster, who is our new vice president. Welcome, Corey.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be here. Looking forward to another year of radio at Carrum.
Good stuff. And you're going to be a regular feature on the radio show.
I'll try my best, yeah.
Maybe even taking over the reins.
Oh, look out. Don't know about that.
And speaking of taking over the reins, I'm also joined by junior player. Upcoming senior player, Dylan Ridgway. How are you, Dil?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. Haven't seen you since breakfast, so it's nice to see you. And also, we are joined by social media manager of the club.
Something like that.
And senior player and Carrum celebrity, especially in the field of education, Steve Watling.
Thanks, Pete.
Nice to have you. Okay, just a quick whip around the table and find out what people have been doing with their off-season. So it used to be everyone played footy, but that's not the way anymore. Corey, what have you been up to?
What have I been doing? Mostly snowboarding, I think. So we got a season pass to Buller this year, so I've made a few trips up there throughout the winter months when the snow's been good. So managed to stay injury-free, which is always positive. And aside from that, just been following the Melbourne Footy Club, so a bit more of a positive year for the D's this year, which was surprising and positive. So hopefully next year, bigger and better things. And yeah, looking forward to getting into cricket now. Been a long enough wait and footy's finished, so let's go.
Good stuff. And I am impressed that you didn't injure yourself snowboarding this year, because you do have a bit of a history of...
Certainly do, yeah.
Of injury proneness.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very... very soft, I think. So no, it was good to make it through injury free. I've had a few lessons, so I've got a half decent technique to try and make sure I can navigate my way out of any dangerous situations.
Yeah, very good. Your words, not ours, being soft or whatever you said.
Yeah, body wise, not mentally, and you know, I'll crack in for a hard ball, but no, the body just doesn't go as hard as I want it to sometimes. It's fallen apart on me many times. So yeah.
And it's not a footy show, but just in one sentence, the D's next year?
One sentence. Yeah, let's see. On the up.
On the up, very good. And we did have Jack Watts down at the Junior Footy Club this year. And what a fine young man he is.
Champion. Absolute champion.
And his form came really good after he visited us and talked about junior stars.
No surprise.
Good stuff. Dil, how's your off-season been?
Yeah, not bad. Just been running the boundary down here most Saturday afternoons, watching Carrum. Been away a bit, up to the Gold Coast at the end of the holidays and up to Inverloch. That was about it, though. Not too much, just local footy.
Yeah, not too much, just up to the Gold Coast, down to Inverloch, maybe Merimbula as well in there, so...
Yeah,
pretty quiet off-season for you.
Yep.
Running the boundary a lot for Carrum Footy Club, one sentence, how'd they go?
Not good.
Not good, two words, short sentence. Not sure that's actually a properly constructed sentence either, but a few school teachers around their table shaking their heads, but... We'll go with that.
Covers everything?
It covers everything, yeah. Steve?
Very little this year. No sports, so the fitness has dropped a little bit. Had to work on that in pre-season. Guess the major thing, buying a house and building a house. So it's been a bit of hard work and getting there.
Pretty significant, serious young house owner.
Yeah.
Good stuff. My off-season, I've watched a fair bit of local footy, and I always enjoy that. And I actually did a fair bit of reading, so something different. And some good holidays. We had a practice match last week. Cricket is back. Corey's going to tell us about our practice match.
Yeah, so we managed to organise a game with Cooey Rupp. So we played in the Carrum versus Cooey Rupp Cup.
Traditional rivals.
Yeah. So we started a new rivalry there with a trophy. Do you want to give a quick recap on what the trophy was we used?
I spent a long time in the morning constructing the trophy. We called it the Carrum Cooey Rupp Cup, and it's a ball mounted on a witch's hat. And, yeah, that's
An old pink ball.
That's good. The trophy has a new home, so I hope they're looking after it, but I don't want to give away the result of the game.
No, of course not. So, look, the game started off with Karen batting. We won the toss and decided to have a hit first. We had Johnny Mitchell and Hayden open the batting. Hayden got a pretty good ball and got bowled, actually, just trying to drive one that maybe came back in on him a little bit. So he was gone early on, but Johnny was steady, and Michael Hulme joined him at the crease. They batted really well together and got us up to, must have been around about 50 runs, I think. And then Johnny, unfortunately, went out, and Jake D'Archery joined him at the crease. Jake hung around for a little bit longer, and they got us all the way up to about 100. Michael made his 50, and then he looked like he might have twinged a quad going for a run. He slipped at one end. So unfortunately, I had to retire Hurd, and Jake then skied one. So two new batsmen went in, which was myself and young Jack Thompson. We had a bit of fun in there with about six or seven overs to go. So we just wanted to try and drive the score up as close as we could to around 150. And I think with about an over to go, I went out, and Tomo stayed in there, and a couple others went out trying to do some silly stuff in the last couple of balls. But we ended up getting the score to about 140-odd, which is really competitive on a slow Carrum ground.
Absolutely. And you got 28, not out?
Yeah, I got a few, which is good. I went out. Yeah, and I threw my wicket away trying to sky one, but that's what you do in the last over. So, no, I was happy with that. I felt all right out there. And then obviously we had our turn to bowl and try and defend 140, which we thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
All we had to do was just bowl on one side of the wicket, and Jake had a clear plan as to how he wanted the bowlers to go. He wanted one side of the wicket about, you know, fourth or fifth stump, you know, make the batsmen, you know, create the mistakes, really. We weren't attacking overly hard, but unfortunately the bowlers probably struggled to find those areas early on, which meant there was a lot of loose balls, and they were probably getting two balls and over, which they could punish pretty heavily. We just weren't applying enough pressure, so they got off to a really good start. They had a couple of strong batsmen, and I think we might have got our first wicket when they were on about 30-odd. You might have to correct me, I'm just trying to remember. I think we ended up having about two or three down, and they pretty much got to our score. They had one bloke make, would have been, no one got a 50, but a few of them would have got high 30s, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yep. One in particular, their captain, batted pretty well, left-hander. And then another bloke came in later on, a shorter bloke who was looking really scratchy early. I thought we were going to get him. Steve Watling had taken a wicket already and looked like he was going to get him again. And he just scratched about this bloke and ended up slapping us around a bit in the end. And the bowlers did as best a job as they could. Zane got his first trundle in the ones. He was a bit unlucky not to get a wicket. We had Tommy Bergdorf, who bowled pretty solidly. Had Rocker, who bowled solidly. I think, Stevie, you got the first wicket, didn't you?
Yep.
Yep. Who followed after that?
Tommy got one pretty soon after, and yeah, and then it struggled a bit after that.
Yeah, we did struggle. Just hit consistent lines was the problem, basically. We couldn't put enough pressure on them, and they just got release balls all the time. So they passed us. We got a few wickets at the end, which was good. So I think Jake D'Archery snagged one. Jack Thompson, I think, got one at the end as well. So we shared the bowling around a bit. A few guys got some good wickets. So everyone got to roll the arm over, and hopefully they're better for the run. And we know the mistakes we made last week with the bowling, so all we got to do is correct that, and we should have a better week this week.
I think as bowlers, that was a good learning curve for us.
Yeah.
They batted really, really well and put us off our lines and got us into a position where we had to learn to bowl in the right spots, and we really didn't.
Yeah, so much. I guess we're always in a learning environment. One thing I learned from the way they batted was they were very good at adjusting their technique to pick the gaps. You know, you move the gully away, and then all of a sudden they're easing the ball through gully.
Yeah, true.
You create a gap in cover, and all of a sudden they're front footing us through cover. So yeah, I thought they batted pretty impressively. I thought we batted very impressively. We could have got more than that. We kind of retired. We were going to retire two bats at a time, and
yeah,
we could have gone a bit harder.
No, we definitely could have made more if Jake didn't. He sort of pretty much threw his away, thinking that he was about to retire, and Michael had to retire. And he was smacking them everywhere. He was on 50. So, you know, in a perfect world, they'd push on and, you know, get us well above 150. But at the end of the day, it's a practice match, and we want to get a few blokes in, so they'll be better for the hit.
Yeah. Dylan, you sub-fielded in the first for the first time ever. How'd you find that?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
A few hard balls coming, but it was not too bad.
Yeah, you got behind them, I hope.
Yeah, most of them. Uneven surf, so it's a bit hard sometimes. Like, yeah. Bounce on over
very
the place.
Very hard, yeah. Surface was very uneven.
It's a good cover of grass on our oval, but still just a little bit rough. Okay, and there was a second practice game. I think the highlights there, probably top scorer with the bat was Jackson Fry. Jackson.
Who's that?
Jackson Fry plays Premier Ones at Casey, South Melbourne Casey. And he's a Carrum local, but he snuck into our seconds team for the day as a batsman. We weren't going to let him loose as a bowler. We love having Jacko around, so it was good to see him top score. Harry Nahal's been a good story. He's come up from lower grades. He took a couple of wickets in the seconds. And young Keenan Wallace also, highlight there. Beautiful stumping by Sturlo, I think, of Keenan's bowling. So that was that. One more highlight from the seniors. There was a specky catch, Steve. Do you remember that?
In the ones, you mean? There was a specky catch. Co-presenter over here, Corey.
Oh, jeez.
Misjudged a couple, I think. Oh, yeah, close to a couple. Yeah, misjudged a ball at mid-off and went back and came forward, went back a bit again and took it with one hand on his back almost.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good grab.
Was quite lucky in the end. I had it covered well and truly. I was cruising and then all of a sudden the ball was behind me, so I just had to dive back and lay the left hand out, and somehow the ball found the palm of the hand and stuck in, so it was pretty lucky.
Pretty impressive. Right in front of the grandstand too, with, you know,
at least
two or three people watching.
Had to put on a show for someone.
And you hit the ground a bit hard. You didn't hurt yourself,
no,
did
I did,
you?
I did pull up sore in the neck. My neck felt a bit out of place for a couple of days, but it's all good now.
That's why I didn't want to take the next one, okay?
That's right, yeah.
That's a good catch. I reckon it's snuck into my top 10 all-time Carrum catches.
Oh, jeez.
I might do that.
It's very generous.
I might do that as a segment one night. Okay, so that's our practice match report. We're in full swing with cricket. Dylan's going to give us a junior report.
Juniors have started training. Under 16s, we started training, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think 7 kids definitely playing in the under 16s, and then obviously kids from the under 14s won't have to come fill up, but they're definitely good enough to be playing. But anyone out there listening that is under 15 or 16 wanting to play cricket, come down, show your face and have some fun this year. The 14s started training on Thursday yesterday. They've got, I think, 9 or 10 players, so they're looking like a good side again. Should be competitive. The under 12s down here before, they look like they've got a few numbers down here. Look pretty strong. Coach by Mick Collis again. They're all having fun, so that's good. And the under 10s, I think they were down here the other night. They're all having fun. That's the main thing at that age group, just having fun, coming down, playing with your mates. And the 2020 Blast, don't know much about that, but seems to be looking all right. And the Mile of Cricket run by Tommy again.
What's the age group for the 2020 Blast?
Under 10, under 8, 10, 9, 10.
Yeah, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. Did you go through all the coaches then? Under 16s, under
16s is coached by Johnny Mitchell. 14s is Sturlo.
Yep, Sturlo Hollingsworth.
Jason's assistant.
Yep.
12s is Mick Collis and Jack Thompson's coach in the second team. Under 10s is Stewie Thompson, I think so, yeah. And Milo is Tommy and 2020 Blast, I'm not sure yet.
Sure.
And if there's any girls out there, come down and
so look at that's the exciting part, I think. We've got a girls team for the first time at the club, with the MPCA starting up in a competition this year with 14 teams, which is really exciting. So we're still in need of a few more.
Yeah.
So if there's any girls out there and listeners with daughters, get them down here and let's get them going.
The age range on the girls, it can be
anywhere between 10 and 18.
Yeah.
So playing a Tuesday night, 5:30 onwards, modified rules, softer ball, all about fun and involvement rather than competitiveness and ladders and winning and losing.
So sometimes the hardest thing is making that first contact with the club. So if there's a young girl out there listening that wants to play, what's the first step, you reckon?
Get in contact with John Mitchell, who's a junior coordinator, and go from there. So
And his number's on the website?
It is,
yep.
And his number's on the advertising for the girls' cricket.
Okay, excellent. And what an exciting time to get involved in girls' sport with the AFL pathway and the cricket pathway, which was really groundbreaking last year with the professional girls' big bash.
Definitely.
Yeah, so good stuff. Okay, let's move on to this week's teams. I'm quickly going to whip through the teams while the boys are thinking about their answers to the next segment. So, very exciting. Cricket's on tomorrow, and first 11 are at home at Roy Dawe Reserve, and I'd love to see lots of local spectators. Captaining the team this year for the first time is Jake Diatri. We picked up Jake from Langwarrin, played with us last season. He's impressed everyone, especially with his approach to the game and the type of lad that he is. So welcome to Jake, and good luck with his captaincy. Hayden Moulton, Johnny Mitchell, Josh Dent, Ryan Dyer, Dylan Steed, Brett Moulton, Corey Foster, Tommy Bergdorf. Welcome back to Mitch Allen, who was a fantastic junior player here, started his senior cricket here, and we sent him off to Premier Cricket for 2 years.
Yep.
And now he's back with us, so we welcome Mitch back, and we're very excited about what he brings to the table for us. And this is a big one, one of Karam's favourite sons, ex-captain of the football club, ex-star of the first 11, and he's back. And he's bowling a treat. So if you want some excitement, come down and have a look at him tomorrow. Daniel Boozer Graves, welcome back. You can just hear everyone in Karam clapping their hands with having Boozer back. Second 11 is Donnie O'Neill's team, but he's unavailable tomorrow, so it will be captained by club stalwart Jason Bayliss. That team, Jason Bayliss, Campbell Ack, Jason Cookson, Glenn Maher, Jack Thompson, Corey Jenkins, Steve Watling, Matt Donegan, Zane Wagner, Rory Brown and Harry Nahar rewarded for good form. So that's a pretty strong second 11. They're playing YCW down at YCW, Frank Street. Third 11 have Main Ridge at Main Ridge. Congratulations to Daniel Dobby, who's going to have a go at captaincy tomorrow. Supported by Dallas Power, Sean Davies up from junior cricket, Darren Kane, welcome to the club, Blake Ray, Will Dwyer, welcome to the club, Dylan Ridgway up from the juniors, Ryan Mitchell from the juniors, Mark Smith, Matt Dobby and Maxi Lafay up from the juniors. Fourth 11, captained by the great Chopsy McGill, and he's pretty excited about this, and he's going to be looking after Benny Kinder. Benny doesn't require much looking after, and then a stack of juniors. Jesse Holt, Keenan Wallace, Sam Ridgway, Jake Simpson. Gee, is he an exciting prospect with his fast bowling. Jake Brackman, Harrison Forbes for his first senior game. Good to have you, Hazza. Deegan Vokes in the Sharks squad at the moment. He joins the seniors. Jack Bayliss and one other yet to be announced. So that's our teams.
Interesting teams there.
We've actually got all grades represented around the table just about. Corey?
Yeah, no, I'm in the ones.
But how's the feeling? How are you feeling about tomorrow?
I'm very excited about tomorrow. We've got a pretty much full list in the team. We've got a pretty much healthy list of ones players to choose from. Fantastic to have Boozer back in the team. Daniel Graves, winner of the 2009-2010 First 11 Bowling Award. So
wow.
Clearly a skilled bowler.
Have you committed that to memory, or can you see that on the honour board behind me?
I might be able to see the honour board from here. Lucky I could just pick up the difference between the J Graves and the D Graves, and I spotted him there.
Full of Graveses, yeah.
Yeah, no, so that's interesting. I've never played a game with Mitch Allen, I don't think. Yeah. Maybe one. No, I'm pretty sure I haven't. So looking forward to playing with Mitch as well. And obviously Jake taking over captaincy should be good to play under Jake's way of doing things as well. So no, it's going to be fun to run out there and have a game against Frankston YCW, who we haven't played for a couple of years either.
Yeah. I agree. It's genuinely exciting. And last night, a pretty good feel around the place.
Absolutely, yeah. I got home and I was like, oh, that was a good night at the club there. You know, we had a good solid session, as you said, out there on the track. Everyone was taking it seriously. We spent a lot of time out in the middle, so everyone was getting a proper hit, proper fielding conditions, practicing running and all that sort of stuff, and then finished up with a little short fielding drill, came in. Socially inside, it was fantastic. We went through expectations for what we expect to start up this weekend. We've got some great things planned off the field for after the game as well. So good vibe around the rooms. I think it'll be a good weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, I am excited. I keep saying that. I was genuine about that. I think the way the boys trained last night is possibly the best I've seen in 3 years. So
yeah, everyone was switched on for sure.
So let's see how we go tomorrow. Steve, you're in the second 11?
Yeah, the seconds is pretty exciting there. I think there's a few boys in there that might be a little bit disappointed not to get their name in the first 11. So
absolutely, yeah.
That's what we need, the second 11 pushing those boys in the first 11 to make them compete and make them successful. So, yeah, I think that's a very strong first 11, or second 11, sorry. Interesting game against Frankston YCW. We haven't played them for a while, as Corey has said, so we're not 100% sure what we're going to see from them and what their strengths are going to be. So, exciting times.
Yeah.
And Jason's got some great ideas as a captain, so... Yeah, exciting to be involved tomorrow.
And the seconds certainly have a great culture that's been created by Donnie last year, so we know that'll continue tomorrow in his absence. And there is a real evenness in those top two teams, and there are people that are pretty unlucky not to be there. Dill, you're in the threes. How are you feeling about that tomorrow?
Yeah, pumped. Can't wait. Been waiting a while for cricket to get back. Can't wait now. Travelling down to Main Ridge. Nice. Small top oval there, about 20-30 metre boundary, so
yeah,
it's pretty handy.
Yeah, most people's backyards in Carrum are bigger than the Main Ridge.
Yeah,
second ground.
Yeah, it's pretty small, but oh well, should be good. Should be fun. Good fun team to play with. Good mixture, and yeah, should be good.
It is a fun team. There's some genuinely fun people in that team, so I think you'll have a great day. And good luck to Daniel with his captaincy. And the fours, as we said, you know, we're in a really good position with our juniors. When we need them, there's a dozen of them, dozen or more, that are willing to put their hand up. So
yeah,
good on them.
There's some very talented people in that, juniors in that side as well.
Yeah,
some good fast bowlers.
Yeah, and that age group, that sort of 14, 15 year old age group now, is very strong. And
yep.
Marcus, our producer, a lot of Karen primary kids there too, which is awesome.
Interesting you noted that Ben Kinney doesn't need much looking after. A few people at the club might beg the differ on that one.
Come on, he looks after lots of kids nowadays.
He does, yeah. Oh, he's still teaching now.
Okay,
he's in the professional world.
We forget that. That was one of those phrases where I'd started it and I wasn't quite sure where I was going, where I was going with it. But, two adults and there'll be nine juniors in that team, although I'm still finding the 11th person.
Okay.
I'm still figuring that out. Okay, that's the local stuff. Our new segment this year is to whip around the table, and we're going to be counting down a few things. I've asked the lads to think about their top three international cricket moments and their top three local cricket moments, but we'll be counting this down over the first three shows. So we're starting with our third favourite international moment and our third favourite local moment. Be an interesting segment. Mention plenty of names, because that's what gets people interested. And Corey, I've done the random draw, and you're going first.
Okay, all right. Do you want to start off with international, or do you want to start off with?
I want
local.
You to start off with what makes the best radio.
Okay. I'll go for the local one then. So I'll go with an event last year when the thirds were the game was pretty much all over, and there was a big crowd from the first 11 that had already finished, walked over to watch the end of the thirds game, and the ball was being thrown around a bit. A few people toiled away and had a crack at bowling, but when Greg Foster rolled up with the ball, and no one really knew what he was going to deliver, and the first one, I think, almost cleared the keeper's head as well, as he tried to unleash a wrong-un that was a full toss above everyone.
Your dad always goes for the most difficult shots or bowls.
Yeah, balls, he tries to bowl wrong-uns.
Yeah.
So,
tries to play reverse sweeps.
Next one, I think, went into his toe and dribbled off to the side of
his
the pitch.
His toe.
But the third one, the guy's come down the wicket and it somehow got past him, and they've managed to take the bails off, and he has then proceeded to do a handstand in the middle of the pitch to celebrate his first wicket at the Carrum Cricket Club after playing here for probably 10 or 15 years, I'd say.
And how old's Greg Foster?
He'd be 62, I think.
Okay, standard behaviour from a 62-year-old.
Yep. So now that's probably up there. It's my third favourite moment in recent memory. Max, that was a good one.
Max, for a fascinating count then, if that's your third. You have reminded me of a famous over that Brendan Notman bowled. Brendan often features in my memories of these sorts of things. Not renowned for his bowling. Fantastic batsman, fantastic wicketkeeper. He bowled a six-ball over with none of the balls actually being regulation. And by that I mean they either bounced twice or they didn't bounce at all.
Yeah.
Six balls in a row. Full toss, double bouncer, full toss. Unbelievable. So I think Greg's over was a little bit better than that. Okay, international moment?
International moment, I'll go with one of my favourites, so I'll cop a bit for this as per usual, but my man Shane Watson. So
I'm talking top three, not bottom three.
Yeah, no, top three. So a couple of years ago, I was at the MCG when England put up 294 runs in a one dayer, and Australia managed to chase it down, 4 for 297. And Shane Watson was the star, making 161 not out, 12 fours and plenty of sixes. He was just smashing them everywhere, and I was there at the MCG. Almost caught one of his sixes over long on. Definitely one of my highlights because my man got the win.
So were you on the bandwagon then, or was it after that?
No, I've been on the bandwagon very, very early. So, before he'd probably even made his first century, I was on the Shane Watson bandwagon for some reason.
Okay.
I was on the Damien Martin bandwagon too. I just seem to pick the player that other people hate, and I just go with them.
What is that? That's an interesting personality trait.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Oppositional syndrome, I think we call it.
Yeah, it is. I had Damien Martin's bat. I got that. I got the it was a Kookaburra Wizard LE, and I had the Damien Martin on. So I'm like, I better get behind him then. And that's when he used to have that sickening cut shot. I tried my best to beat Damien Martin.
So who are we on now?
Now? Watto's gone.
Yeah, Watto is gone. I've found it hard to replace him. I've always liked Chris Lynn as a state cricketer.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping he will slowly progress up to playing test cricket as a batsman. So I'm hoping he'll get a go. But apart from that, I dislike Mitch Marsh. I don't really think he deserves his spot. I don't like Henriques. And they're players who I probably should like because everyone else
dislikes them. I would have had you in the Henriques.
Yeah, no, definitely not in that camp. I like Adam Zampa. I reckon he's good to watch.
He's an exciting young legend.
Yeah. But no, I'm on the Chris Lynn bandwagon at the moment, especially for 2020. He's amazing to watch in that.
Watch this space.
I'll pick someone else up soon. Don't worry.
Well, you've probably just destroyed Chris Lynn a little bit because he'll do something now for the rest of us to dislike.
Yeah, he will. He will.
Okay, very good. This is going to be a good segment, Steve.
Okay, locally, I would think Boneo game 2 years ago, round one or two, we had a couple of really, really good performances in that game with Jacko taking seven for something in their batting innings.
Yeah, bowled quick.
Bowled very, very quick. I remember Haydos and myself standing in the slips, looking at each other going, if anything comes anywhere near us, it's going to hit us between the eyes before we move. Luckily, nothing came and it all went to Dylan.
Yeah, with the gloves on.
With the gloves on, yeah. So that was a pretty good bowling spell, that one. And then we backed it up with Polly making 178 not out the week after, which was truly unbelievable innings.
That was
hitting it harder than you'd ever see. Some poor bloke from Boneo dropped him five times
and couldn't believe
he still stuck his hand in front of it.
That's a good one, actually. I often tell the story that that bloke fielded it mid-off.
He did.
Yeah.
And he started in regulation mid-off and Pol just plastered one at him and he dropped it. And then he kind of snuck back about 10 yards and later on Pol plasters another one at him and he drops it. And that sequence kept happening until that bloke was right on the witch's hats on the boundary line and still dropping the catches. And Pol just happened to hit it to him harder and further each time.
Yeah. Anyway. One other thing in that game that people forget with Polly's innings, that when he was on about 130 or something, he actually copped a ball in the foot and he could hardly walk. So by the time I went out there to bat with him, I've hit a ball and called him through for two and he's like, no, just one. So he was only operating in singles or boundaries. Yeah. So he could have made plenty more than 178, but a man on one leg and he still made 178.
Yes and no. I think he hit him harder because he couldn't run.
You're probably right.
Watch out for the injured player.
Yeah, beware the wounded batsman.
True.
Sean Austin, if you're listening, that's one of your favourites. Beware the wounded batsman. He went from 130 to 170-odd pretty quick that day.
Very quick, yeah. I remember I was down near the boundary and one of the Boneo players who we know, Cam Williams, sort of turned around and said, I'm going to go on and I'll get Pol out. And we said, oh, yeah, good on you, mate. First ball, six. Second ball, six. Third ball, four. I think he's went for 20-odd. He came back down. He's just like, he's on today.
Yeah.
He's not going out.
That was one of the better innings I've seen in a long time. A
couple of Karen favourites there, Jacko Fry and Daniel Paulson. Yeah,
it's stiff to take seven for and only get two votes, aren't you?
Well, yep. I know a bloke who may or may not be in the room who took 10 in a game once and didn't get the Man of the Match award.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I do know that person.
Oh, my God.
Someone made 150 and got it instead, but that's fair enough.
Oh, geez, 10 wickets is good effort.
Memory like an elephant.
I know someone else that's been in that position as well.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, guess who? Have we done your international ones too?
Not yet.
Righto, here we go.
International-wise, I think it was Shane Warne's 700, so sitting at the MCG when he did that was a pretty surreal experience. Watching and growing up watching someone like that play. Yeah. And being in the stadium when someone takes the 700th wicket, first time in international cricket, was a pretty amazing experience. And the noise around that place was insane.
Yeah, I remember that day because I was there. And I pride myself on when I go to sport, I don't miss a ball or a kick. If you remember that day, it was cold and wet. And the game started late.
It was.
And I was in standing room in the members, not far from being behind the bowler's arm. And I was busting for the toilet. And I missed one ball in that whole test match, and that was the ball I missed. Right, the noise was deafening because I was downstairs insane. And I could still hear it.
It was insane. But it's something that will stick in my mind forever and a day, I reckon.
Okay, now who did he get out? Can you remember that?
I have no idea.
Left arm opener for the Poms. Was that Vaughan? Was he left arm? Opening batter. Left arm through the gap.
Don't know.
Dill.
Start with local. I think Steve actually took my watching Polly that day. I think the first week I wasn't there. Actually, no, I was, but I think watching Polly at Borneo, just whacking them around the park, batted most of the day, and just unbelievable. I think he almost pulled a ball and almost killed a kid walking
out of the primary school,
landed about 2 metres away from
awesome.
Him.
And,
I think that's one of the best moments I've ever seen local cricket.
And you're only a young fella then, too. You're only 12 years old, so pretty impressionable, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to record this show for Paul. Paul will love this.
Yeah. That was. And I remember Jacko Bowen that day and just thinking he's got a big future ahead of him. And he would only have been 19, 18 or 19 then. So that was a good day for Karen cricket. And yeah.
Absolutely. International?
Probably not actually watching a game, but going to Lords.
Yes.
No game there, but on my trip in England, got to visit Lords and touch the grass, go through the change rooms and all that, and up in the commentator's box and
on the balcony with the players. Awesome memory.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Definitely top three. Yeah. Probably could be higher, but.
Yeah, interesting one. We may have a piece of that Lord's grass at home too, but don't tell anyone because that's illegal.
Get that back through customs.
I haven't had much time to think about this. So, international, I'm going to think of a moment from my childhood. Jeff Thompson bowling. I loved Tomo. He was fast and he was wild, and there was a series where we played the Poms and we were destroying them, but the only bloke that was making runs was Tony Gregg. I think he got a century in the previous test match. And then Tomo and Ian Chappell came up with the idea of the sand shoe crusher.
Yeah.
That Tony Gregg had this big back lift and only wore sand shoes, so he was going to rifle the first ball at his toes to either york him and bowl him or to break his toe. And Tomo didn't always put the ball where he thought he was going to put the ball, but this one's a classic. So if you're for younger listeners, if you YouTube that one at home, Jeff Thompson, absolute gold, international memory. Karen memories. I've got so many. And Dallas, my good mate Dallas is not going to like this, but I've played in four premierships, but one of my lasting memories is the premiership we didn't win because we lost the unlosable semi-final. It's been referred locally as the Whoops game because we won back-to-back flags and then Whoops and then back-to-back again. In the Whoops final, we made 330.
Brendan Ottman.
Maybe 170.
Yeah.
Corey, you played in this game?
Hey.
Did you play in this game?
Yeah, I played in this game. I put one of the balls into the pool next door at Delacombe.
Yeah. And we just thought we were unbeatable, probably. And then going to the next day, we had them probably eight down with more than 100 to get. And Delacombe Park managed to get the run. So I've played in the unlosable game. So that probably sits as my third highlight, although I haven't had a really good think about this because I only made up the segment half an hour ago. So that's that little segment. Corey and Steve, committee and social club news.
Yes, okay. So committee news, I'll just run you through a few of the sponsors we've got on board this year. So we've got our major sponsor is Freddy's up in Carrum. So he runs a coffee shop that at night time becomes a pizza joint. He's been a really good supporter for us. We're actually heading there this Saturday night for our after-match function. So we'd like to thank Freddie for his support this year. In addition to him, we've got Mitchell Torre Real Estate, who are a local real estate company. Justin Mars, our connection there, who's actually an ex-Carrum cricketer. So we're able to tee up a sponsorship with him. So anyone interested in buying and selling your house, make sure you get down to Mitchell Torre Real Estate.
Is Justin Marr interested in being a present Carrum cricket player? Because I've got a spot tomorrow.
There was some chat at the point of organising the sponsorship that if a game was available for Mark, for him, would Justin be able to slip into a team? And I said, look, let me know on Thursday and I'll speak to Ridgeon. We might be able to sneak you in. So maybe I'll send him a text after this and see if he can get the Delft Real Estate. But I think there might be a few houses up for sale tomorrow.
The round's sponsored by Mitchell Torre this week.
It is too.
Perfect round for him to get in.
Might be an omen for him to get down and take a fifer or something.
If you're listening, get on board.
Beautiful. Aside from that, we've also got Centre for Men, which is a clothing company. So they come out and measure you up and tally you a suit to size. It's a club connection through Sterling Hollingsworth. It's his mum's company. His mum and her brother have put that company together. So make sure if you need a suit for this upcoming spring carnival or any other special events you might have on, to get in touch with Centre for Men. So their website is centre4men.com.au. So get in touch with them and see if you can get yourself a nice looking suit. Aside from that, we've got a few more to quickly run through. So Levy Electrical, one of the local blokes, Matt Lev, he's got an electrical company, so if you need some electrical services done, jump on our website, all the details are there. We've got a builder as well, so Ocean Blue Builders. We've got their website and contact details on our website also. And our president, Peter Kirk, has his company, Long Beach Tree Services, so any annoying stumps you might have around the house or if you've got a bit of overgrown tree work, make sure you get in touch with Kirky and he'll come down and fix that up for you. We also have the local MP, Sonia Kilkenny. She's sponsored the club as well, which is fantastic, especially around our junior program. She's really keen to see the junior kids progress through to cricket and get outside and play sport and that sort of thing. And finally, we had a raffle sponsor. I'm going to touch on one last one after that. The raffle sponsor this year was a bit different. We got all the guys at the club to try and sell one ticket to a local business. And then we had a big draw here on our opening season night. And JJ Brick Paving won that. So if you need any paving done, J&J Brick Paving are the men to get that done. And our final sponsor is where we are tonight. It's the Carrum Patterson Lakes Sporting Club, who've been our longest standing sponsor and they're part of our home ground here at Warrigal Reserve, so a big thank you to them. They've always been one of our biggest contributors, and we're able to do all our events in here and a match selection and after-match selection and all that sort of stuff. So thank you to the Carrum Patterson Lakes Sporting Club.
Awesome. Social news?
So social news, we've got a lot of events planned this year. As Corey mentioned before, Saturday night we have our first pre-match at Freddy's, so $15 a head. Was there a discount for children?
Children are welcome to come along. There will be a discount for kids, yep.
They get to eat half a pizza.
That's right. They do. Yeah, if your parents give you a couple of slices, if done well.
So $15 covers for pizza just to continue to come out during the night, so and then drinks at bar prices and that type of thing. Match reports will be done on the night. We're also planning a number of Super Saturdays where we would like to see our junior families and as many members back at the club as we can. So there'll be food and dinner and
good idea.
All sorts of stuff happening on those nights. Our first major function is Yobbo Lotto, which is on the 26th of November. So if anyone's heard of something, of Bogan Bingo, it's along those lines. Guys that run it are cricketers themselves, so they understand cricket clubs, and it's designed specifically for a cricket club. So yeah, that should be a really good night. We hope to get a big crowd, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Definitely, definitely.
Cool. Awesome. So I think that's all of our show tonight, but we'll just whip around for shout-outs. So, Dylan, shout-outs from you.
Any juniors out there listening, if you haven't been down to train already, get down and have some fun this year, play cricket. Any family listening out, g'day. That's all from me.
Good stuff. Corey?
I'd just like to wish all the teams a lot of luck.
Yep.
There is a possibility that if you get to Freddy's tomorrow night, in the first hour between 7 and 8, there will be a special on a certain beer, so make sure you get there for that first hour. Just had word from Freddie that he'll look after us a bit with some of the beers there. So get down and get your fill in the first hour. And the soft drinks will be there as well for all the kids. That's probably it for me.
Steve?
Good luck to all the boys playing tomorrow. Shout out to Nicole, my partner, and the kids. I'll be home soon.
Very good.
Sounds like a Crowded House song. yes, and g'day to my family, extended family, and wife, and Sammy and Dill. And just good luck to all cricketers tomorrow. I love cricket. We're not the only great cricket club in the world. There's fantastic cricket clubs all around the peninsula, and it's a great game, and good luck to everyone in the great game tomorrow. Sorry, Dil, last word.
Thanks to the producer, Marcus, as well.
We always
volunteer in his time.
We always thank Marcus, and the cricket show is back. We had a bit of a quiet year last year with it, but Friday night's the new night for recording. And we're gonna love it. And we'll have a mixture of personalities on the panel. But that's the show for this week. Good luck, everyone. Play straight. But if it's short, cut it or pull it. Cheers.
Go Lions.